Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Anxiety and the solution that God gives to that great problem. Stay tuned for Abounding Grace Radio.
Proclaiming the good news to a needy world. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Have an anxious heart. The Bible tells us to be anxious for nothing. What a challenging imperative the Lord gives us, and how He desires for us to live in full reliance and trust in Him for everything. Hard to do. We're going to look at the Lord's path forward out of anxiety from Philippians chapter 4. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Please visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number's 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. All of your correspondence is read, and it encourages us a great deal, and you can support the program right there at agradio.org. This is now part two of a message that you heard yesterday from Philippians chapter 4. Do not be anxious. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
It's with you all the time. It's with you when you rise in the morning, even to your sleep. Just go on and see what the medical field tells you anxiety does to the body. Now here it is. Jesus comes. Don't be filled with it. Anxiety is a gateway. You know they say that about marijuana. I suppose we're going to have to give some instruction on that now. It's legalized in California. It's a gateway drug, they say. Anxiety is a gateway sin. It's what it is. And it's at this juncture that we're opened up to everything. Here we run from this point into idolatry because it gives us some kind of relief. Here we feel like giving up. Here we fall apart. Here we stop attending church. Here we isolate ourselves into depression. Jesus tells us, don't worry. I don't want you living in worry about these things, because there then comes and is displayed a lack of trust that marks and is evident before you in the unsaved Gentile world. And you're no longer Gentiles. Anxiety is opening the door to unbelief, because it displays a lack of trust that you have a God who is in control, who is sovereign, who does providentially order everything, who is holding your life in His hand, who does have purposes in what He does, who even feeds the birds of the air. And you're running around like that. Now, I think it's at this point it's helpful to begin to consider Paul's answer here. That's the hard-hitting aspect of the law in this regard. I find it still, in the midst of all this, a wonderful, wonderful set of instructions and applications that He gives us in these kinds of moments. Jesus doesn't want us worrying. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? That is a wonderful thing to think, that the God of heaven and earth doesn't want us worrying. He must have a good reason why, and you just heard. You just heard. It was Jesus who said, I don't want you to lose heart in this struggle. Remember that? So you should always pray. That was Luke 18. Don't lose heart in the midst of this. Men ought always to pray and not lose heart. How? Well, I think you know exactly how in light of Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Listen to it again. Do not have anxiety. Do not be full of anxiety. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything. In prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So the remedy is don't have anxiety about anything, but replace that anxiety with prayer and everything. And again, we're still sitting here saying, come on, Paul. Isn't that a bit simplistic? I could hear it already. Life's too complex to say that. We all know we struggle with prayer, even when things are going well, but how much more difficult is it when things are not going well? Prayer is hard enough when everything's good, but when full of fret, just pray. Is that how we hear this? Fact is, anxieties even seem to prevail over my desires to pray. That's a problem, and that's a real experience. And how is that remedied? Notice what Paul does here and how he then directs us and gives us help with the very struggle that I just described. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known. What a beautiful directive in how to pray. Look at the first two words. Everything by prayer and supplication. He's made a distinction on purpose. I don't think you can explain that away. The first word is the basic word for prayer, and the difference here, as the Jews understood it and how the word was often used, is that the first word was speaking of a very devotional or sort of worshipful approach to God in prayer. You know what this is. The second is speaking of the specific burdens that come into the heart and into the life and the tyranny of circumstances that he is inviting us to cast upon him. One reason we struggle with prayer is because we often approach it all wrongly. What is the first thing we do when our hearts are troubled, when these things come upon us? We pour out our distresses to him in prayer, and it begins with the mind and heart shaken up and stirred with the problem and the statement, Lord, why is this happening to me? The Psalters say things like this. The Psalters say that a question of why can be very helpful. But the approach of, I am miserable, how could you let this happen? Why this thing? And as the mind is fixed on this, this is not prayer. Not in the sense that we should think about where our heart should be rooted as we come before the Lord, in what thoughts and what should be in our minds and how we should address him. We can come to God consumed with anxiety with no regard for him. We're given more to our anxiety than we are to the Lord. I know that's real. I'm not downplaying that. But what Paul is encouraging us to, what Paul is helping us with here, us to do, is to come to the Lord first with a reverential, worshiping approach to the way we approach God in prayer. So much so that when things are overtaking us, it's not best to start with the problem. It's not best. But first to enthrone the Lord, if you will, who is enthroned. This has to be at the root of all cries and prayers to the Lord, to as the Psalms do constantly, to worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Lord, Psalm 90, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. This is where prayer is rooted and grounded. Your praise of the Lord. even the psalmist who cried out in Psalm 22 and began with, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from the words of my groaning? Then says this, yet you are enthroned. You are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel, and you, our fathers, trusted. You hear it coming out now? Hear the worshipful approach in prayer. And you, our fathers, trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. That's changing him. Psalm 102 lays one of the deepest laments in the Psalter. Listen to this. For my days pass away like smoke, and my bones burn like a furnace. My heart is struck down like grass and is withered. I forget to eat my bread. Because of my loud groaning, my bones cling to my flesh. I am like a desert owl of the wilderness, like an owl of the waste places. I lie awake. I am like a lonely sparrow on the housetop. And then comes this. But you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. You are remembered throughout all generations. The distresses in the Psalter and the anxieties are always then directed and corrected. Even Psalm 77, you can look up that one where he begins with I, and the whole psalm changes to you. That everything is rooted and then grounded in the worship of the Lord. That's why prayers must be with thanksgiving. Notice that's added. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with this worshipful approach to the Lord, acknowledging His enthronement, acknowledging His greatness, acknowledging His wonders, acknowledging His power. Start rehearsing how thankful you really have to be to Him for all He's done to you, done for you. Thanksgiving, as our Heidelberg says, is the chief way of gratitude, but it's one of the chief ways of praising the Lord. It's one of the greatest balms for you. Survey what God has done for you. Really. Has He ever failed you? Has He not proved His faithfulness? Has He not loved you? Has He not always answered you? Has He not always provided and cared for you? You should be able to say, yeah, Lord, you preach the cross to me every week. Every week. You speak of the dying love of your Son to us. You have proved above all my circumstances, and you've always done it for your people. Your steadfast love, your covenant of grace, steadfast love. Thank you. Thank you. There's now in this prayer, this has really taken shape, hasn't it? It's begun with, you are enthroned, you are God, and I survey your wonderful works to me and to all of your people throughout history. And you got a book of Psalms to read to see it. It's here that you begin to ask for help. It's here. He invites us to. Casting all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. That's an amazing verse in 1 Peter 5. Cast your burdens. In this way, joy is maintained, isn't it? There's a reason when Paul said, again, I say rejoice, again, I say rejoice. Here is how that's maintained. So what Paul is saying to us is that even in our distresses, as we cry to the Lord, we must be filled with thoughts of His love and His mercy that we have already and always enjoyed from Him. And you must contrast your anxieties with His promises, with His love, with the bigger truth of His salvation and the fact that even though you don't understand why this or that is happening, His steadfast love has always been proven to you, and you've proved it in the past. His saints have proved His faithfulness. It's then that prayer takes shape. then? It's really wonderful what the Lord is doing for us here. God commands prayer not because he needs to know what we need. He knows before you ask. But he wants you to come tell him, for the end that we would express trust in him. And Proverbs 3 just shines here. Trust in the Lord with all your might. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he's going to direct you. And did you see where we see the promise shine through? Does God answer? Does God do anything for us in these moments? Does God really answer us in these moments? Absolutely. He answers prayer. That Garth Brooks song is trash. Sometimes God's greatest gift is unanswered prayer. I don't know, that just came to my head. I used to sing it as a kid. God always answers your prayer, and I'm going to show you. I understand what he's saying, that if it's selfish, you may not want him to. But listen to this. Don't be full of anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, cast your burdens on him. Let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How does he answer? What's striking about it is what you would expect. Don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication, or with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and he'll fix it. No. He'll change it. No. This is how we operate. We operate this way. This is how we think. This is one of the great problems in the way that we treat the Lord and look at the Lord. We think everything is good when the circumstance changes. When the trial's over. When the suffering or trial of my loved one is over. Yeah, we look forward to a resurrection. I am not downplaying that at all. But we're still here. Then I'll get calm. Then I'll be calm. Then, after this is over, I can get back to what I know to be a stable life, a good life. You notice how we're always looking for that. I want back to normal right now, let me tell you. I am so far out of routine, driving to Arizona every week almost. Services, I'm tired of drama. The needs in the congregation right now are huge. Hardly keep up with all this. And I think constantly, I can't wait till all this is done. I cannot wait till all this is done. So I live this way, trying to beat the circumstance and just get through it. So we come to God thinking that God changed this then. You see? Our prayer, we say, changes things. And that's a way we box in God. We box in God this way to our wants and our desires, and not realizing he has us in this place for his reasoning, even if I don't understand it. But I'm going to work hard to change in the midst of this if he won't change my circumstance, you see? This is what we do to him. And yet God has you right here for a reason. It's often God's design specifically for you that you're trying to get out of. And you wonder why you're struggling, feeling God doesn't answer your prayer? It's God's will for you to go through it to find peace and joy in it. It's then evident who we're really trusting in instead of running. Remember Paul's thorn in the flesh? I had this thorn in the flesh. I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that he would take it away from me. Take it, Lord. Deep pleading. Take it, take it. No. My grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness. Did you see what happened to that man after that answer? Well, then I'm going to rejoice in it. I've always been amazed by the implications of Psalm 23. You prepare a table before me, where? In the presence of my enemies. Why not take them away? You could remove the enemies. No, no. I give you a table in the midst of your enemies. Surely he didn't have to do that, right? You think of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, I pray this cup will pass. But not my will, but your will. And Hebrews comes along and says he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him for you. So what does he do for you? Notice what he says. Here's his promise. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Circumstances may not be changed, but God promises you something better. He promises you, in looking to him this way, he will pour out upon you real peace. What's that worth? You're not getting it running. You're not getting it doing it your way. He gives you calm. He gives you tranquility. It's a military word he chose too. The Spirit did. He will guard. He'll set a guard around where? Your heart and your minds. The very things that are in utter distress. That he will do when your circumstances rise up this way. He promises that whatever pain it is in the trial, God in the very heart and mind will place his power there. So that even when you can't sleep and are constantly stirred up, he'll be there in his spirit guarding your heart and your minds, promising to remove the anxiety. Yes, that's what that is a promise of. There is a promise here. This is his will. He doesn't want you to be anxious. He'll answer that prayer. This is what Jesus was talking about when he said, when you pray, you will have it. This is the kind of stuff he's talking about. He has given you his spirit, who is a helper guarding your hearts and minds from anxieties and pains that these tyrannies of circumstances bring upon us. He will calm your heart to see his sovereign, gracious hand working. Peace. My peace, said Jesus, I give to you. My peace I leave with you. It must be something he wants us to have, for he keeps telling us. One of the continuing mediatorial works of his people through his intercessions is this way to guard you and to keep you. I find it then just tragic for those who don't know the Lord, who are not in Christ today. Look at them aimlessly walking through life, full of anxiety and grief, with no perspective, always seeking and never finding, always trying to fix their problems with no perspective and no joy, no hope, no comfort. And Jesus says, you have a God who's answered you. Believe it. He is your joy and peace. I remember a lady, I close with this, who lost her husband years ago. She came up to me. She said, you know, the doctors tell me all these things I need to do to numb it all. I knew I had to face it. You're handing me all the medications after the death. Today, I have a painful joy in the Lord. I can't get that combination of words out of my head. A painful joy. What a choice of words, huh? Joy and peace of the Lord is there to sustain us. I trust this morning these wonderful words have encouraged you to live believing that God is in control of your life. Don't run into sin. We do it so well at these moments. Learn to trust Him with all your hearts, to lean not on your own understanding, and He has given you a great promise today. He's promised to guide your path. He's promised that on those paths, He will give us the joy and peace of the Holy Spirit.
Listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.